If you would, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. As you're turning, let me tell you what an honor it is to be invited to be with you and preach the gospel of God's glorious grace. I thank you for all the work that's gone into this conference, your hospitality, the fellowship, and the preaching of the gospel has been such a blessing. I'm very thankful I was able to be here. I titled the message this morning, The Person of the Gospel. You know, the gospel is not merely a set of doctrines. The gospel is not the 5 points of Calvinism, what we call TULIP, the total depravity of man, the unconditional electing love of our God, the limited atonement, the irresistible call of the Spirit, and the perseverance of the saints. Now, I hold very, very strongly to those truths. But you know, you can know those truths and not know the Lord. The gospel is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot know Him and not be saved. It's an impossibility. Salvation is a person, and if you know Him, all the rest of your doctrine will be right. It'll fall right into place. And the best illustration that I can think of to illustrate this is marriage. To me, marriage is not a contract. It's not a legal union. It's not a big old fancy piece of paper that we sign somewhere, sometime. I don't know where it is now. But that's not marriage to me. To me, marriage is a person. Right there she sits. And if I really love Janet, all the responsibilities that I have as a husband in marriage, all the doctrines, if you will, of marriage, they'll fall right into place if I love her. And actually, Christ is all to such an extent that really and truly, He is marriage to me. Really. If I love Christ, if He set His love upon me, and I have union with Him, I have eternal life. And if I look to Him, I've got an awfully good picture of what the husband I ought to be to Janet. Really, you can't take that too far. Christ is all. I saw an article this week on the internet. I saw a link to an article, and I normally never click on those things, but I thought I got to read this. It was an article from a religious magazine, some sort of Christian magazine. They sent out a survey all over the United States. And they got back these surveys with questions on them, and they're very sad to report that a shocking number of Americans are wrong on so many key doctrinal truths that are plainly taught in Scripture. They listed several. The first one was, they asked, could one little sin damn a person? And like 70, I mean, it's a huge percent, I don't remember what it was, a huge percent of the people said no. And this magazine concluded this, that the reason for this error is so few preachers preach the person of Christ. And if more preachers, they concluded, would preach the person of Christ, more people would know the right doctrine. And they are absolutely right. So this morning, by God's grace, I want to preach the person of Christ as clearly and as simply as I can, so that every one of us will leave here this morning believing Him, looking to Him and trusting Him. I don't want us just to know how to be saved. I want us to leave here this morning knowing and trusting the person of the gospel, the Savior. Now, I have 4 points. My first one is this. The gospel is a person. Look at Matthew 1, verse 21. This is the angel speaking to our Lord's foster father, Joseph. And he says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And here's my text. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now the angel talked about he. He. Well, who is this he? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the person of the gospel. And I love to talk about him. I love to hear about him. I love to think about him. Well, who is he exactly? He's God in the flesh. Look back up at verse 20. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now the Lord Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost, of God the Spirit, in the womb of a virgin. Now you, what a wonder that is. So this he was conceived by God in the womb of a virgin. That makes him the God-man. Like Brother Scott told us, he's as much God as if he were not man. As much man as if he were not God. And since he is God in the flesh, he is the only holy man to ever live. Now this is important. The Lord Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. That means that Christ was not born from Adam's sinful seed. He did not partake in Adam's rebellion in the garden because he wasn't in Adam when Adam sinned. And that's what makes him able to save his people from their sin, by taking their sin away from them and making them righteous, because he is the only righteous, holy man who ever lived. God was made flesh. He was made what he was not, so he could come and save his people and make them what they're not. And look at the name here given to this person of the gospel. The name given to him at his birth is Jesus. The name means Savior. It's the Old Testament name for Joshua. Now the Lord Jesus is not, and I'm not making light now, but he is not some spaced out hippie just going through the world in a fog, in a haze. You know, he's just too much in a haze to be mean to anybody. That's not the Lord Jesus. And just believing in any old Jesus will not save your soul. Now be warned, there are many false Jesuses. The person of the gospel, who we must know, who we must believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. And we must believe him. Our Lord said, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sin. If you believe not that I am the eternal God, you shall die in your sin. And that's why I said this. Salvation is not believing in a false Jesus. He wants to save everybody if they'll just let him. And then later on, you learn who Christ really is. That's not salvation. A sinner is only saved when they come to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not this Jesus that tried to save as many people as he could. That's not the Savior. And my friend, if you believe on that Jesus, you shall die in your sins, because he's not I am. That Jesus is not God in the flesh. The person of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation declared in that gospel is not just a state of being. Salvation is a person. Jehovah, God my Savior. Righteousness that's declared in the gospel is not a thing. Righteousness is a person. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Peace with God that the gospel declares. The peace that Peter said, how did that peace come? Through this person of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, who made peace for us through the blood of his cross. This person of the gospel is the sum and the substance of the gospel. Salvation is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept the law, not us. Now it's his obedience that saves, not us. It's him who put away the sin of his people when he had by himself purged our sins. Then he sat down, didn't he? You know why he sat down at the right hand of God? Well, the work was done. It finished, wasn't it? And he did it without any input from you and me. It's all him. And when he went to Calvary's tree, he sacrificed himself. He sacrificed everything that he is to save wretched, vile cowards. I can identify Peter. He sacrificed himself that he might save his people from their sin. Now I want to ask you, how can we not worship him? How can we not adore him? How can we not believe him? How can we not run to him for mercy? Sometime this afternoon, go back and read the first chapter of Ephesians. And you know what you'll learn? That all of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find out we were elected in him. We are predestinated in him. We are accepted in him. We're redeemed in him. We're called in him. It's all in him. Now I know that the gospel is a great mystery to the human mind. Our natural minds cannot comprehend the gospel. It can't be done. The gospel is the greatest story that's ever been told, and it's so great. The only way you and I can know it is if God is pleased in his mercy to reveal it to us. He's got to reveal it to us. Someone might be here this morning, and you have a true desire to know the gospel. You have a true desire to know how God saves sinners. I'll tell you what to do. This is my recommendation to you. You make it your business to know Christ. You be where he is preached. You live in this town, you be here every time these doors are open. You be where he is preached, and you make it your business to know him. Look at Colossians chapter 2. And as you're listening, as you're preparing to come hear the gospel, you beg God that he would reveal Christ to you. And if he does, you'll know the gospel. If he would just reveal Christ to you, this whole book will open up to you. Look here at Colossians 2, verse 3. Speaking here of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you'd have wisdom and knowledge, go to Christ. They're hidden in him. Now, they're not hidden from us. They're hidden in him, preserved and protected for us in him. They're all in him. Look down at verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete where? In him. It's all in him. And here's a wonder. Do you know sinners are always comfortable in the presence of the Savior? Now the self-righteous aren't, but sinners are, aren't they? During our Lord's earthly ministry, who is it that flocked to him? Publicans and harlots. This man eats with sinners, and he receives them. Well, sinners were comfortable in his presence. And he is so gracious. You won't find one sinner that ever came to him seeking mercy and left without it. Not one. Now you come to him. Right where you sit, you come to him. You know, our parents always try to teach us how special we are. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You're not so special, you'll be the first to leave his presence without mercy. Now you come to him. To him. Don't come to the doctrine. You come to him and find salvation. It's all in him. This person of the gospel. All right, number two, the person of the gospel. Who is he? He is the successful Savior. The angel said, he shall save his people. He shall. And I love this. I love the certainty of salvation in Christ. There is rest for my soul. There's peace for my heart. There's confidence in preaching, in knowing this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the successful Savior. He cannot fail to save anyone that he came to save. All throughout the Word of God, you won't find one hint of doubt about salvation in Christ. I want to read you just a few scriptures. For time's sake, we won't turn to them. Let me just read them to you. Isaiah 42, verse 4. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Now, I'm going to read some other scriptures, but that ought to put an end to it, shouldn't it? He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. He's a successful Savior. John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation, but he's passed from death unto life. Pretty certain, isn't it? John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's not a doubt about it. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:45. It's written in the prophets. And all the prophets, they all wrote of him. That's what you read in it. They all wrote of him. Him. It's this person. And they shall be all taught of God. And every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father does what? Cometh unto me. Every last one of them. There's no doubt about it. John 10:16. The other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In John 10:28. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Brethren, salvation in Christ is secure. It's sure. Can there be any doubt about it? I'm so thankful that God did not leave the salvation of sinners up to them. He didn't leave it up to our decision. He didn't leave it up to us to take the first step. God put the salvation of sinners in the hand of one who's mighty to save. And he cannot fail to save them. Christ cannot fail to save his people from their sin because there's power in his blood to atone for it. He cannot fail to save his people because of the perfection of his righteousness, making his people righteous. He cannot fail to save because of the power of his Spirit to give life, to give faith, and to irresistibly call sinners to Christ and make them willing to come. When he calls them to Christ, you don't think the irresistible call is God dragging you against your will. No, sir. In the day of his power, he makes you willing to come. God saves every one of his people against their will with their full consent. And you think about that for a while and you find out that's true. Now you rest in him. Come to him and rest in him. Oh, what a blessed encouragement there is from the Holy God. He put in his word to give sinners a reason to trust Christ. He shall save his people from their sin. He shall justify them. He shall bring them to Christ. He shall glorify them. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. Not even my flesh. It can't be, because he shall save his people from their sin. Now we can trust the salvation of our souls to the successful Savior, can't we? He shall save his people from their sin. All right, thirdly, what has the person of the gospel done? He has saved his people. Saved them. Now when God's word talks about salvation, it is not talking about the same thing the flesh talks about. Salvation is not being saved from the poverty of this world. That just grates at my last nerve. God, oh, come, you know, if you believe Jesus, now he's going to make you rich, and he's going to bless your business, he's going to bless your bank account. Well, I read in Hebrews chapter 11 of some mighty poor, mighty poverty-stricken people who were blessed, who had faith in Christ. Now, you come to Christ, you'll have riches. You'll have spiritual riches. And more than likely, you won't have much of this world, but that's all right. That's not what we want. You know, I'm looking forward to leaving this place, and I have more of it. Being saved is not being saved from drugs and alcohol and various diseases of this body. As devastating as those things are, that's not salvation. Salvation is not even being saved from going to hell so you can go to heaven. Now, that's part of it, and I'm awful glad of it. You know, somebody, I heard a soul winner saying, well, you don't want to go to hell, do you? I'm a stupid. I don't, of course I don't want to go to hell. But that's not salvation. Salvation goes a whole lot deeper than that. And brethren, it's much more glorious than that. Salvation is salvation from our sin. Christ has completely and utterly saved His people from their sin. He saved them from the sin that they've committed. Now get a hold of your seat. By being made sin for them. Was it Todd said yesterday, I'm getting ready to talk about something I don't understand. We can't do it, but try for a moment to think about how glorious this is. That the Holy Son of God would be willing to be made sin for His people. The people that He loves. We can't get any concept of how horrible that was for Him. To be made what He hates. To be made sin. To be made sin knowing He'd be cut off from His Father. But think of the glory of it. He did that because that is the only way His people could be saved from their sin. By Him taking it away from them. By Him being made sin for them and putting it away by His sacrifice. Christ took all of the sin of His people away from them. The angel said it's theirs. It's their sin. They committed it. They are this sin. But He made it His. He took it away from them. He took not just the penalty of it. Brother Todd told us this yesterday. That's Frey's going to preach my message. He took the guilt of it. So that He became guilty. That is the only way the holy, just Father could have put Him to death. It had to be His sin. He had to be guilty of it. And here the angel calls it their sin. But at the cross, our Savior called it mine iniquity. It became His. And He put it away by the sacrifice of Himself. And it's gone. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Christ saved His people from their sins so much, justice is not even looking for them. If Christ died for you, you believe Him, don't bother wasting your time looking over your shoulder to see if God's justice is coming for you. He's not even looking for you. Justice has been satisfied in the death of the substitute. But even more than that, Christ saves His people from the sin that they are. He saves them from the power of their sin nature. Christ has saved His people from the controlling power of sin when He causes them to be born again and gives them a new nature, and that nature can't not believe Christ. The power of sin is this. The power of our sin nature is this. That sin, that nature, makes it so we can't believe on Christ. No matter how hard we try. You know, I grew up under the sound of the gospel. As long as I've understood language, I've heard the gospel. And I'm here to tell you, I spent years trying to make myself believe it. I couldn't do it. Could not do it. I believed it so. But I couldn't believe. Here's my problem. I couldn't believe Christ. That was the problem. I could not do it. And I don't know when it happened exactly. But I found myself in love with Him. Now, I was in college. And I was a smart aleck, just like most kids are in college. And buddy, I could argue doctrine with the best. I got in there and just, I could argue that doctrine. But I found myself in love with a person. And I could not believe Him. I just could not. That's how God delivers His people from the power of their sin nature. By giving them a new nature that loves Him and can't leave Him. They can't not believe Him. That's being saved from the power of sin. And one day, this salvation is going to be perfect in our experience. We still live in a body of sin, don't we? But one day, God's elect are going to be saved from even the presence of sin in their body when we're raised incorruptible and made just like our Savior. Now, the glory of heaven is not going to be streets of gold and pearly gates. I'm convinced those things are not even real. I'm not talking about streets of 14-karat gold and great big pearly gates. I'm convinced of it. The glory of heaven is not going to be on a permanent vacation floating around on a cloud. That's not the glory of heaven. The glory of heaven is going to be the person of the gospel. It's going to be made, being made just like Him. And to be eternally face to face with Him. Whatever else is there in glory, we're not going to care much about it. How are we going to be able to take our eyes off Him and look at something else? Eternity is going to be all about this person of the gospel. God help us. God make us be taken up with Him now. I'm going to start right now, don't you? All right, here's the fourth thing. Who has this person of the gospel saved? He saved His people. And the Apostle Paul said that this is a faithful saying, it's worthy of all acceptation. This is worthy for everybody to believe, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now that's a true statement, isn't it? But if that's all we say, and we leave it there, that Christ came to save sinners, we haven't preached the gospel. You know, the unbelieving world would agree with that statement. Christ came to save sinners. But what they would say is this, that Christ died for everybody, because everybody's a sinner. So, they say, Christ's death gave everybody a chance to be saved. They say Christ died for everybody and just made salvation available to sinners. That cannot be further from the truth. That is a lie. Any honest reading of God's Word, I mean, I don't care if it makes sense. I mean, I know that might make sense to the natural man, but what makes sense to our natural mind does not matter. We need to find out what God's Word says. And any honest reading of God's Word makes it as plain as the noonday sun that Almighty God elected a people to save. And He sent His Son into this world to save those people. And I'm thankful. That is the only way a dead sinner can be saved. It's if God chose them and sent His Son to die for them and sent His Spirit to give them life. It's the only way. Our sin nature cannot and will not. It is stiff-necked, stubborn rebellion that I, by nature, will not believe Christ. But it's also impossible for my nature to believe Christ. I cannot and I will not. I will not come to Christ. I will not choose to be saved by Christ alone. And God knows that a whole lot better than we do. So He chose a sinful people to save in this person of the gospel, His darling Son. And the Father sent His Son into the world to save those people that He elected unto salvation, and only those people. Look at John chapter 10. The Savior called those people His sheep. John chapter 10, verse 2. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice. He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He didn't call every sheep. He calls His own sheep. And He leads them out. And Christ died to save those sheep, those elect. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. He doesn't lay down His life for every son of Adam, did He? He laid down His life for a sheep. And He will see to it that those sheep are saved. He's going to give them faith, and He's going to see to it that they come to Christ and they follow Christ. verse 4 says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." He made them know him, and they follow him. Verse 16, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And the evidence that God elected a person is this. This is the evidence that they have faith in Christ. That's the only way you can know that God elected you unto salvation, is you have faith in Christ. Because God gives faith in Christ to everyone he sent his Son to save. The evidence that God did not elect a person unto salvation is this. They don't believe Christ. Verse 26. "But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep." That's not "you're not my sheep because you don't believe on me." That's not what he said, is it? "You believe not because I didn't choose you, because I didn't elect you, because I didn't come to save you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now look at John 17. Our Savior made this crystal clear in his great high priestly prayer. He didn't come to try to save everybody. He didn't come to make salvation possible or available. He came to save his people, the people that the Father elected and gave to him. That's who he came to save. John 17, verse 2. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to" who? "As many as thou hast given him." Verse 6. "I have manifested thy name" unto who? "Unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Thine they were. They're yours because you chose them, and they have kept thy word. Verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world." Brethren, our problem is not we can't understand the King James Version. Our problem is we won't believe it. "I pray not for the world." Christ didn't die for everybody in the world, did he? "I pray for those which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Verse 11. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." In verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest to me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Now this is the Savior. This is the truth of election. He came to save the people that God elected to save. And the truth of election glorifies God as God. Election means God's God. That's what it means. Now please listen to me. You who do not believe Christ, please listen to me. I hope I can spare you from making the mistake that I made. Do not use this glorious truth of God's electing love as an excuse not to come to Christ. You come to Christ because you're a sinner who needs a Savior. You don't come to Christ because you know you're one of the elect. Don't search through God's Word trying to figure out, trying to find some evidence you're one of God's elect. Nobody ever came to Christ because they knew they were one of God's elect. Sinners come to Christ because they need a Savior. Filthy sinners come to Christ because they need to be washed. Guilty sinners come to Christ because they need forgiveness. You come to Christ as a dead sinner, and he'll give you life. And you'll find out right quick you came because God chose you first. You'll find out right quick. This is not something you're going to learn later on. You'll find it out right now. Oh, I came because he loved me first. He loved me. I don't understand it. I'm thankful God's not like me, because I wouldn't have loved me. But he loved me with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he was drawing me to Christ all along. And I came because he brought me. I tell you the best reason I can think of for a sinner to come to Christ are the words of our text. He shall save his people from their sins. God help us to believe. Lord bless you.